In 2024, okay, let me just say this right now. You are going to come across things you've already come across it. Things that you are going to have to confront. Things that will need to change before your eyes. I'm talking about things in your life. I'm talking about things in our church. Things in your family. In your business. In your work situations. You are going to come across stuff. Across things that some of it will come against you to confront you. To stop you. I mean, last week we looked at 7 things that we ought to look out for. Okay, and I'm not going to go over that now. Because we've already heard that and we know that. 7 things that we're going to watch out for. But as I said last week, there's much more than 7 things that we need to look out for. And so we're just going to have to really pay attention, okay? First of all, to what God is saying to us. Secondly, we're going to have to know in these days in which we're living, folks, you've got to know the God that you serve. And I'm not talking about a religious thing where you just come to church, you hear the word, and boom, that's it. You pick up your Bible, you read a psalm, you say a prayer, and then that's it. You come to church, you perform a little bit of ministry, and then that's it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your relationship with Jesus Christ. It has to be real, it has to be authentic, and that's what God is looking for. Hearts. He's looking past all the action, and he's looking into the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, to see what's really there. Are they really after me? Do they really want me? Do they really love me? Do they understand the times that they're living in and how the enemy is out there trying to bring things against us? Do they really understand that? But today, what's dropped into my heart, and I mentioned it already, that I'm going to be talking about a subject, and it's this on the screen. Wisdom, the principal thing. Because if we're going to be successful in whatever we're doing in our daily decisions in our lives, then we're going to have to do it and know it God's way, not our way, not what we want, not what we think. Too much of that. Too much of that. What I think, what I say, what I... No. Too much of that. And our language needs to change. It's about what God wants. That ought to be priority. And folks, I'm telling you from now, if it's not, you're going to run yourself into trouble. I just tell you plain and straight. You do things your way, you're going to get into trouble. Because you're confronting and you're going against the grain of what God is saying. So we've got to then know what Lord, what is it that you want for my life? What are you saying for this moment, for this time, for me? What ought I to do right now? And this is a word that Lord dropped into my spirit. And because if we're going to see healing in our midst, and by the way, we will. If we're going to see financial breakthrough, and by the way, we will. If we're going to see healing in our relationships, whether it's severed or solidified, because the move of God causes one of two things to happen. Relationships are either severed or they're solidified. Some relationships are not good, they're toxic. And God wants you out of them. But some relationships are good and right. And God wants you to strengthen that. Okay? So that will be solidification. So we're going to look then at wisdom, because wisdom is the deciding factor. It's the means by which good success in any area, I'll just name 3, you know, but there could be more. If we're going to have good success in our lives, in our areas of our lives, then we're going to have the wisdom of God. And that's what we're going to talk about. So let's go with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 4. Let's just read this. I might be stretching this over 2 weeks because I want to pray for you today as well. I just want to go with the flow of the Holy Spirit, really, and what God wants to do. But let's read Proverbs chapter 4, and I'm going to read from verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver to you. Hear my son and meditate on my sayings. And the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Keep her, for she is your life. I love that. Keep firm hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Why? Keep her, for she is your life. The book of Proverbs and the Bible, but especially the book of Proverbs, talks about, my son, hear my instructions. Listen to the sayings of your mother. Time and time again, hear instruction. Receive my sayings. Hear instruction. Receive my sayings. And that is a way of wisdom. Now, let me remind you, we're in a period of fasting and prayer. We've got one more week to go. And while we're fasting, primarily to remove every hindrance so that God can work through us. We're not fasting for God to do anything for us. We're fasting for, if He's going to do anything, it's just going to help us to adjust and to move whatever hindrances there are that are in us so that God can work through us. Many a times God wants to do things, but there are things hidden. Now, these hindrances can be hindrances within, or they can be hindrances without. They can be in our hearts, in our mindset, in our thinking. They can be in our words. It's not what goes into the mouth of a man that deceives him, but what that defiles him, but what comes out of the mouth of a man. So sometimes the hindrances can be within, but the hindrances can also be without, and they're outward circumstances, people, your boss at work, neighbors, just outward things that can come against you to prevent you from being used by God. Now, as Christians today, folks, more than ever, our eyes need to be open. I said our eyes need to be open so that we're seeing and we're perceiving what's happening. Because sometimes the things that will come at you will come sometimes at the people closest to you. So you've got to watch out for that. Now, what we're going to do over the next 2 weeks is look at these five questions. We're going to look at, and these are questions pertaining to wisdom. Well, what is it? How do I get it? How does it work? What are the enemies of wisdom? And what are the benefits of operating in wisdom? In my years of ministry, I've mentioned wisdom a lot of times, but I've never dealt with this, I don't think, as a subject matter. But the Lord laid it on my heart about three weeks ago. And I believe that wisdom is the thing that we need in 2024 to know how to move forward in God. And so I pray that you will get something from this as I go through this teaching. All right, so let's talk about it. Well, what is it? What is wisdom? I'm going to spend a little time on this, but not too much time. Maybe more time in some areas, but I really need for you to grasp what it is, because sometimes we have a preconcept in our minds of what wisdom is, and it's not that. So I want to align you with the Word of God as I do every single week when I stand here. I want to align you with what God's Word says about it. And so I did some research and I looked into the Word of God and I dug into the Word as usual and I found that there are 9 Hebrew words for wisdom and 2 in Greek. The 2 in Greek are mentioned there, Sophia and Phronesis. I'm going to talk about that today. I'm not going to go into the 9 Hebrew words. The 9 Hebrew words are there. Don't worry about that. I actually put that on the screen because I was going to put some references and I was going to put the meanings, because if you should know by now, because I've been doing this for years, the Hebrew language and the Greek language are very flavorish languages. Thank you, that's the word. Flavors. You know, sometimes when you know what you can't come out, thank you, John. The flavorsome languages, okay? Very tasteful and expressive, okay? And don't pay attention to that. Don't worry about that too much, okay? And these are just 9, I think it's 9, I said, Hebrew words that I've found, and I've actually begun, but I haven't finished looking at each one. But I'm not worried about that for today. I'm not concerned about that. We're going to look at Sophia, and we're going to look at Phronesis. Now, Sophia, the various meanings are flashing up on the screen. Broad and full of intelligence. Knowledge used of various matters. It also means human and divine wisdom in Luke 2, 40 and 52. Supreme intelligence, such as belong to God. Romans 16:27. Wisdom of God informing governments and councils. Romans 11:33. And by the way, there's more, like, for example, Romans 13:1 as well. But I've only put minimum scriptures up there because of time. Wisdom used of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21-24. 1 Corinthians 1:2-7. Ephesians 3:10. And Revelation 7:12. Wisdom as used by Jesus Christ. Matthew 13:54. Mark 6:2. Mark 6:52. 1 Corinthians 30. Colossians 2:3. Revelations 5:12. Wisdom is also personified. Oh my gosh, there's so many personifications of wisdom mentioned in the Bible. And if you look again in the book of Proverbs, you will find many. But I've put a few there on the screen outside of the book of Proverbs. Matthew 11:19, Luke 7:35, and Luke 11:49. I'm reading this out because it's being recorded so that when you're listening to it, you can have the references. Wisdom is also defined as human wisdom in spiritual things. Luke 21:15, Acts 6:3, Acts 6:10, Ephesians 1:8, and human wisdom in the natural sphere, Matthew 12:42, Acts 7:22, and also in a debased form. Wisdom in a debased form, James 3:15. Some of these we're going to be looking at over the next couple of weeks, maybe today, maybe next week. Okay, so that's Sophia. Very briefly, so if I should summarize Sophia, this is what I've got. Sophia denotes a mental excellence. This is wisdom now. Denotes a mental excellence of the high sense to details as exhibited in action and reasoning correctly with the information that's presented. Okay, so that's one definition. Let's look at phronesis a little bit. I'm going to come back to wisdom and give you my definition. Phronesis has various meanings as well. Mental action or activity. But it's a little bit different from Sophia. And maybe if you're paying attention or if you've noted, you'll see the difference already. Mental action or activity. Intellectual or moral insight. That's another meaning. Or prudence is another meaning for phronesis, which is another Greek word for wisdom. Phronesis means to have understanding and denotes practical wisdom. Prudence in the management of affairs. So it's slightly different from Sophia, and I don't want to get too deep into that. I don't want us to get hung up. I'm just giving you the flavor of wisdom, the flavor of these words as seen in the Bible. Now, I've got a couple of scriptures here. Luke 1:17, Ephesians 1:8. All right, so let me come to my definitions of wisdom. This is one I've used through the years. And I've got another one after this. Wisdom is doing the right thing in the right place, in the right way, at the right time to get the right results. Okay? But wisdom is also the ability to use knowledge correctly for the right purpose to get the right results. Now, you will see when wisdom is mentioned in the Bible, you have knowledge mentioned and you have also understanding. They are triplets and they work together. There is no wisdom without knowledge. There is no wisdom without understanding. You can have wisdom. Let me think. You can have knowledge, okay? But if you have no understanding, then the chances are wisdom won't work properly. Are you with me? So you need the three working together. And that's why when you read the Bible, you will see them mentioned together quite a bit. All right. So I'm going to flash this definition up a little bit later. In the teaching, to remind us of what this is, the ability to use knowledge correctly for the right purpose to get the right results. And when we talk about right results, by the way, we're talking about what God wants, not what you want.
Yes.
What God says, not what you say, not what man says. All right, so let's move on. How do I get it? How do I get wisdom? How do I get it? Well, the Bible tells us in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. Come on, let's say that loud. Let him
ask.
That's it. Ask of God, who gives. Look what God does. He gives to all liberally and without reproach. and it will be given to him. So wisdom is not difficult to get, and you're going to see this, because time and time again, I'm going to show you several scriptures, now, that prove from the Word of God that you need to ask to get. And by the way, do you ask one time for wisdom and get it and then that's it? No. No, 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 no. You need wisdom for everyday circumstances that present itself to you. So you've got to ask God for wisdom to know how to handle whatever it is that you're facing. Ask God for wisdom to go through the day, the interview that's coming up tomorrow. Ask God for wisdom so that you know what to say, but not just what to say, how to say it as well. All right, so let's look at what Matthew Henry said. Matthew Henry says, and this is based on scripture as well, Matthew Henry says, asking is the rule of the kingdom. And he said sometimes the reason why we don't get is because we don't ask. Simple as that. That's Matthew Henry. Okay, but the Bible also says something as well. It says that if you're going to ask, I've got to ask in faith. So it's one thing asking, but it's another thing asking in faith. James 1 verse 6, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And the verses continue. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Right? Because you're not asking in faith. You're asking around the arena of doubt. Doubt is coming in. Remember what I said about doubt? I think I said this last week. You tell me. What did I say about doubt? What is doubt? To be what? To be in two minds. All right? It's like, having two heads. I think that's one biblical description of it, to have two heads. And any person walking around with two heads is a freak. And God ain't got no freaks in his kingdom. Amen. And so we have no place for doubt. Can I get a loud amen? Amen. No place for it, man. You've got to deal with it. And again, even when it comes to that word doubt, there's several descriptions, and I've taught on that in the past, because there are different flavors of doubt, and we've got to be able to know them, to watch out for them and not let them come into our lives. All right, so we've got to ask in faith. In other words, we've got to be fully persuaded. That's what faith means. Pistis. To be fully persuaded. So you've got to be fully persuaded, church, that God will do what he said he would do. In 2024, how many people believing for change? How many people, keep your hand up if you're believing God to work through you in a greater way in 2024? You're going to have faith for that to happen. In other words, then, all your senses have to be discounted or put aside, because faith does not operate according to your sense realm. As a matter of fact, if you can feel it, touch it, hear it, smell it, taste it, it's not faith. And God wants us to come and to ask in faith. So even though you can't see your healing, you are believing God that God has already healed you. I want to give you a little teaching one day about healing. Me and Pastor Joy have been having some discussions, and she brought it up, and I said to her, I shared something with her. And I'm going to show you again from the Word of God, the ministry of Jesus when it comes to healing, and what the most prevalent way in which he healed. And it's very interesting. I'm not going to go further. I don't want to get stuck on something else, but it's very, very interesting. But if you're going to go through 2024 and you're going to believe God for healing in your relationships, in your family, in your environment around your home where you live, maybe your bad neighbors or friendships, then you're going to have to ask God in faith. If you're going to believe God for financial healing and change around that area of your life, you've got to come and you've got to ask in faith. And then God will give it to you. Let me show you something here on the screen. Questions are important. And questions are links between the seen and the unseen. Questions arise because you've got something in the natural realm, but you haven't got the answer for it. You don't see the end. You see the beginning, but you don't see the end. So questions come right in the middle between the two. They are the links between the seen and the unseen. You may have questions about, go back to it, about your health. Lord, how long am I going to have this sickness or this pain that's in my body? Sometimes, folks, just stay on the word, man. Just stay on the word and stay on the word and stay on the word. There are questions that come up, and the seen is the pain, the sickness. The unseen is the healing that has not manifested yet, but you have it in Jesus' name. Amen. So you stay on that. Questions are links between the seen and the unseen. Matthew 7:7 says this: ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. That's what it says. Now, if we look there, we see three different levels of prayer. Very important for you to note this. Very, very important. I'm going to give you a perspective that maybe you've never heard before. Maybe you have. So ask. What does that mean? What does it mean by asking? We're talking about getting wisdom. And if we're going to get wisdom, then we have to ask. That's the way of the kingdom. Ask, and then you'll get it. All right, so ask. It means to request, to put a question to. It means to inquire. So that's one level. Okay, let's take it to another level. And the other level is seek. What does seek mean? Seek means to earnestly look for, to search out diligently. So one level is saying ask. You come to God, sometimes you come to God in prayer, you ask and God answers prayer immediately or the next day or soon. But there are times, have you found this? I'm sure you have. When you have to seek God. There are times you come to Him in prayer and you ask and nothing happens. Anybody been there? Is it just me? Yeah? So you have to now seek Him. But there's a third level that I want us to look at very briefly. Knock. That's the third level of prayer. Knocking. So what is knocking? You present yourself, but it is up to God when He answers. Do you see the difference, church? That's what knocking means. You present yourself to God like you ought to do, but now you have got to. God determines when He is going to answer. Listen, when you, let's go back up to seek. Okay? When you're seeking something, you're looking for it. You know, you're earnestly looking for it, but you haven't found it yet. Sometimes God hides the answer from us to test us. Is she going to really continue to pray to me? Is she going to continue, or he going to continue to seek my face? Are they going to continue to believe? Are they even going to go to church? Are they going to continue to be diligent in reading the word, in praying to me, in believing? Sometimes, folks, God in His wisdom hides things. Right, and we have to look earnestly or present ourselves to God to be diligent. Not just to ask and I don't get into, but we're going to seek Your face on it. Lord, I continue to praise You. Lord, I continue to bless Your name, Father. I may not have all the answers. I may not know why, Lord, but I know that You have my best interest at heart. And I know You hear me when I cry to You. So sometimes we have to seek. But there are times when have you ever, you know, you're in your, it happened to me when it happened yesterday, innit? When the door knocked, and you ever somebody ever come to your house and knock the door and you really don't want to answer? You don't know who it is, but you just don't. That was me. So I had to put some clothes on and present myself and go and answer the door. Because, yesterday, somebody, I was home, I didn't even know, I was alone in the house. Somebody came and knocked, and I said, no, I'm not going to answer, let Joshua open the door. And I stayed where I was. And the person knocked again. And I said, oh my gosh, let me go down, because I'm not expecting anything, but let me go down anyway. So, I put some clothes on, I think that was what I was talking about. Put some clothes and went downstairs, and then I presented myself. I opened the door only to see it was Joy. So what I'm saying here is if I didn't present myself, if I didn't decide to open up, I don't know if you had the keys or not, maybe you didn't, she wouldn't have got in. It wouldn't have got in. So, but you know, I decide whether or not I'm going to open. Are you following what I'm saying? You decide whether or not you're going to open the door at that particular time. Okay? For whatever reason. I mean, most of us eventually will open it anyway. But if we know who it is, like, I don't say it. If you know it's a certain type of people out there, maybe you won't open the door. I've done that in the past. You know, whether it's... I've done that. Yeah, so when you're knocking, okay, you present yourself. But God determines... Listen, God determines whether or not he's going to answer. Now, if the person who's knocking seeks to get inside, and maybe seek is not the right word, but forces themselves to go inside by either kicking down the door or going through the window, that person has now done an illegal thing. Please follow me with this. Because sometimes we're knocking, and we don't hear no answer. And we can force the answers ourselves and get ourselves into trouble. We're kicking down the door now because this is what I want, this is when I want it now, this is what I think, and this is what I'm going to do, and I don't care what you say, I'm going to do it because I've been knocking, I've been waiting. And then we jump ahead of God in his program and whatever he has for us, and we get ourselves into trouble. So we're just going to make sure that we're not doing anything illegal. When we're knocking, that we're not now losing faith in God doing whatever he wants to do for us. We're going to make sure of that. All right, I think I've flagged that long enough, and I hope you understand that. Let's look at another verse. It says in James 4, verse 2, says, "You lust and you do not have, you murder and covet and do not obtain, you fight and war, yet you do not have." Why? Because you do not ask. I wonder how many people find themselves in that arena. Where suddenly now, the thing that started off spiritual becomes a physical one, a materialistic one. And you find yourself somewhere where you ought not to be. Simply because you didn't ask God, didn't involve God in your life. Lord, should I have taken that promotion? Now that you've taken that promotion, you ain't got no time for God. Because your boss wants you at work 7 days a week. Working overtime, how many times, I don't know. Anyway, let's have a look at something else. How do I get it? How do I get wisdom? The Luke 2, 45 and 46. "So when they did not find him," this is talking about Jesus now, "they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions." Jesus was in the temple. What was he doing? Two things. What was he doing? Listening and asking questions. Listening and asking questions. And that's what we need to do. We need to listen, but we also need to ask questions. Luke 2:47, it says this, "And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." How old was Jesus? 12 years old. And big grown men and women were astonished at his understanding and answers. Why? Because he had wisdom. I don't know who that was. Because he had wisdom. Matthew 7:17. Mark. I think it's Mark. Mark 7:17. They've gone now. "When he had entered the house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable." I put that there because, and there's so many scriptures, but again, I'm just putting that there as an example. The disciples asked questions time and time and time and time and time again. While Jesus was training them, you'll see in the ministry of Jesus with the disciples that the disciples asked questions. Very, very important. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. This applies to us today. God said, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Keep in mind that Satan wants to silence you and by keeping you from asking questions. Listen to me. You see, when I run courses, and some of you will know this, you know, both in church and outside of church, I always say to people, no question is a silly question if you do not know what the answer is. And that puts people at ease. to open up and to ask any question that they want to ask. Any question that they want to ask. Satan aims to silence you folks by keeping you from asking questions. What are you asking that for? Everybody knows what the answer is. No. If you haven't got the answer, you ask. Alright? Now, so how does it work? Let's talk about that a little bit. How does it work? Okay. A reminder of what wisdom is. The ability to use knowledge correctly for the right purpose to get the right results. So, how then does wisdom work? How does it work? Alright, it works by love. 1 Corinthians 13, Galatians 5, 6, Ephesians 3, 17. It works by faith. Galatians 5, 6, Hebrews 11, 6. It works by asking. Matthew 7, 7. It works by receiving. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. Proverbs 2, verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." So, it works by receiving. So, if the Lord gives, all we've got to do is receive. And that's why I put that on the bottom there. Wisdom is a gift. It cannot be earned. It's not something that you earn. You don't get wisdom because you're a goody two-shoes. You get wisdom because you ask. And you ask in faith. And you believe. You get wisdom because you decided to receive it. And that's why we read it earlier. The Bible says, when you ask of God, he gives to all men liberally and without reproach. He gives it. It's not something he's going to say, well, I don't think you're qualified. No, he gives you. God wants you to have wisdom. Because he wants you to make the right choices, the right decisions. Yes, I will go to bed early so that I can get, and I'm going to talk about that, so that I can get up early for the house of God the next day. Because what time does church start? So, you know, and it's like that with everything else. I will go to bed early so that I can get up in time to have my prayer time in the morning, if you have your prayer times there. How does it work? It works in our relationships. Proverbs 3:20. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. It works in our conversations. 1 Kings 10:24. Proverbs 29:11. It works by God speaking to us. This is wisdom. It works by God speaking to us. How? Through the preaching and teaching of God's word, like I'm doing now. Like we do in our Bible studies. Like we do in our courses. It works through people. And that's why, again, we said last week, fellowship is important for believers. Because we rub off on one another. Okay? It works through people, but how else? It works through circumstances. Wisdom we're talking about. It works by God speaking to us through circumstances. And also directly to us. And I want to focus on this now. Wisdom works by God speaking directly to us. And he does that in two ways. Please note this. Broadly speaking, in the daytime. And what's the other one? In the nighttime. It's got to be, isn't it? If it's two ways, it's got to be. If it's not daytime, it's got to be nighttime. Alright? So, God speaks to us through it. Now, I've highlighted that at night because I want to show you something from God's Word. Pay attention to this. I'm going to show you a number of things here now. Okay? And I hope you can grasp some of this. Okay? All of it, really. Nighttime. There's three different ways in which God speaks to us, his people. Okay? Download or input wisdom into our lives. At night time, he does it when we're awake but doing nothing, lying on your bed just relaxing, not doing anything. He does it at night time when you're awake but meditating, sitting on your bed, lying on your bed and just meditating on the Lord. He does it then. And he does it at night time when we are lying down and sleeping. So God speaks to us in our dreams. He can give us visions while we're sleeping. He can also give us visions while we're awake. Alright? But these are the three different nighttime phases or times when God will download or speak to us to give us wisdom. Why does God do that? And why at night time? Let me show you. God speaks to us directly at night. Job 33 and verse 14 to 17 says, "For God may speak in one way or another, yet man does not perceive it." Listen. So he's trying to speak to us in the daytime, but we're not getting it. You know why? Because sometimes we're even in church. The word is going forth, but we're not getting it because our mind is on, did I turn the fire off? Like me now, did I turn the iron off? I switched it on this. Yes, I did. I switched it off. You know, I did the same thing day before yesterday, and guess what? It wasn't switched off. When I came home late in the evening, I saw the iron on in the bedroom upstairs. I said, oh my gosh, I left it on. See, our minds are always on different things. And it happens even in church. Your mind, you could be here and you should be focused on listening to the word. What is God saying to me? How can I grasp what this truth presented from God's word? But sometimes our minds are so busy. We're preoccupied with so much activity and business that's going on that not even God can get through. So he speaks at night. The verse continues. The verses continue. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ear of men and seals their instruction in order to turn. Listen to why he does it. God does this to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man. In other words, man is so busy trying to do what they want to do. They're trying to fulfill their purpose, their thing, that God can't get through. And God so says, waits until we're sleeping. Then when he's sleeping, he downloads instructions. He speaks to us in a dream. He speaks to us with visions. And he speaks to us at that time in order to turn us away from the errors of our ways, from our purposes, from what we want, from our busyness, from the mistake that we're about to make sometimes. He turned man from his deed and to conceal pride from man. Because when pride comes in, it will ride. Pride rides. And the Bible says it goes before destruction and the haughty spirit before a fall. When pride comes in, everything else that's valuable goes out. Because now self is elevated and what you think becomes more important than anything else. But let me look at verse 17 again. God speaks to us directly tonight. Job 33:17, that he may withdraw, this is the King James Version, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from him. That's what the King James Version says of that verse 17 that we just read. So you see, our purpose can be different from God's purpose. And sometimes our purpose can get in the way of God's purposes. And again, that's why we've got to humble ourselves and say, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. Lord, not what I want, but what do you want to do through me in 2024? And that's where we're focused on in our fasting. Let me say this, along with what I've just said, with what that verse, Job 33:17 just said. All right, because God wants to hide man from his purposes. Unity is not possible if your preference, we said this last week, is priority over your purpose. What you want becomes priority over what God wants, which is your true purpose, then unity is not possible. All right. So, let's have a look at this. So, Solomon, 2 Chronicles 1, 7 and 10. On that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask, what shall I give you? Can you imagine? Solomon was king now, you know. So he must have been so busy in the daytime. What do you think he was busy doing? All sorts of things that a king does, that a leader does, isn't it? So he must have been so busy that God couldn't get through to him. So God spoke to him at night and said, Solomon, ask, what shall I give you? And then Solomon replied, now give me wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before your people and to know how to judge them, this great people of yours. And we all know, God said, because you've not asked for long life, because you've not asked for the lives of your enemy, because you've not asked for riches and honor and wealth, Not only am I going to give you what you asked for, Solomon, but I'm going to give you those things as well. And we all know that Solomon became the wisest. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that Solomon, there was none that was wiser before him, and there's none that's been wiser after him since. So he became the wisest man in the whole world. But let me interrupt that. How many people know that wise people can make foolish decisions? All right, good. Because we see that in Solomon's life. But look at God and what God is willing to do. These were conditions, though. And Solomon broke those conditions. But I'm not going to go there. So, Psalm 16 and verse 7, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. The night seasons. I looked up that word in the Hebrew. Night seasons is the Hebrew word Layil, L-A-Y-I-L. And it means a portion of the night between sunset and sunrise. So it's talking about physical time, physical night. That's what he's talking about. Time between sunset and sunrise. Sunrise. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, God's law, he meditates when? Day and? Maybe the time when you're lying down on the bed. Day and night. Day and night. So at night when you're lying down, remember it's three things you can be doing. Lying down, doing nothing, God can speak. Lying down, meditating, God can speak. Lying down, sleeping, God can speak. You meditate on his word day and night. Joshua 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Meditate day and night. You can't meditate at night if you're staying up at night doing all sorts of things with the busyness of it. Never bring work home. If you work from home, learn and know when to stop. Do not let work. How many people know work never ends? So never let work interfere and cross over into your personal life and time that you should be spending with your family, time that you should be spending with God. Never let that happen. You need time in the night time so that God can speak. And I hope and pray that when you leave this building today, you will make some changes and adjustments where necessary so that you're making time before you get too tired and, yes, the Lord, I was meditating, but I fell asleep. I mean, God can still speak, and we saw that. But, you know, you just lay back and just... I do that a lot. A lot. I just lay back and I just talk to God quietly. Nobody knows I'm doing it. Joy doesn't know I'm doing it. Just there, and I'm just meditating on the Lord and speaking. And I'm just letting God drop or download things into my spirit that I know that I need. All right. When you do that, you make your way to have good success. All right. So God speaks to us directly at night. These are other scriptures, by the way, that some of them we've covered, some we haven't, where God speaks in the night seasons. And this is not comprehensive. Again, I had to stop because of time. So I'm not even going to bother read them out. But they are there in God's word, and you can add to that. Some of these verses are very interesting. The book of Daniel, chapter 7, very interesting. All of it is interesting. Samuel, 1 Samuel 3. You remember the young boy Eli? And he thought he heard God speaking, and he went to Eli. The young boy, what's his name? Samuel. Samuel went to Eli, and God said, no, I didn't call you. And he went back and said, lie down. And he heard a voice again. And he got up again and went to Eli, sure you called me because I heard your voice. And he said, no, it wasn't calling me. And he went and he asked three times. And Eli said, go back to your bed. And if you hear, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. What was God trying to do? download stuff to Samuel, and it's proven in those verses there. We see what God said. God began to download some stuff, began to give stuff to the young boy, Samuel. Alright, so he speaks to us at night. Sorry. I didn't see that one there. Is there any more? No, that's it. Alright, so how does it work? I've got here now, I've got the solution. So, number one, let me give you several solutions, okay, because where do I go? How do I make adjustments in my life? I'm trying to help you out with these now, okay? Number one, get your priority right. Get your priority right. You've got a list, make sure your list has the things that have on it the priorities of the kingdom of God. Okay? Get it right. 2 Corinthians 8:12. For if there is first, a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what one does not have. Number two, spend your time wisely. Psalm 89:47. Remember how short my time is. And you know by now, I've said this so many times, time is more valuable than money. Money once spent can be re-earned. Time once spent is gone forever. You cannot re-earn the time that you had yesterday. The time that you're spending now will never come back. So spend it wisely. Number three, solutions, go to bed early. Go to bed. Somebody shout with me, go to bed early. This thing about staying up late, for what? Put down the phone, put down the iPad, put down the computer. Switch the TV off, go to bed early. You want God to speak into your life? Give him room to work, man. Go to bed early. Discipline yourself to go to bed early. Psalm 127 verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late. Vain, we're sitting up late for. I want to be used back. Make room for God to work. Go to bed early. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he gives his beloved sleep. God gives you sleep. Why are you not taking it? You're wondering why you're tired and why you're sick again. I just had flu and I got flu again. I'm just ill and I'm ill again. And you know, come on, you're not giving your body. You see, from the moment I hit 60, things change for me. And nobody needs to tell me that. Nobody needs to tell me anything. I said, no. You see, some of you guys are in denial, and that's a problem. I know I'm getting older. As a matter of fact, everybody say with me, I'm getting older. No. When I say I, no. Everybody's getting older. You see, this is what I'm talking about, the denial. the denial that exists. We're all getting older. You're getting old too. Right? So, no. I'm saying to myself, no. I'm going to last for ministry. And the things that, when I was younger, that maybe I could do. You see, I had somebody, I'm not going to call no name, talking about, oh, you're moving slower. No, I'm not. I'm deliberate. That's deliberate. I'm not moving slower. I'm not walking like an old man. I'm not walking like an old man. I'm just deliberate. What am I going to rush for? I'm just going there. Let me run to the pulpit. I remind me of one president, U.S. president, when he got his presidency, he wanted to show everybody that he's young. He's just running up. Go to bed early. God, give me sleep. I'm taking it, man. Because I need my strength, and I need God to speak. And that's one of the primary things. So you find me sometimes just lying down. Just, it seems like I'm not doing anything. It's just me and the Lord saying, Lord, me and you now, Lord. Go to bed early. Yes, the Message translation. I got to reinforce this. Thank you, Lord, for making me put this up again, especially what just happened a while ago. Listen to what the Message translation says. It is useless to rise early and to go to bed late and work your worried fingers to the bone. Don't you know he enjoys giving rest to those he loves? You're working off your worried fingers. All right. Number four, write down your dreams. Right now, I've got a book at home where when I had certain dreams at a certain particular time, and I know they were significant, meaningful, it's all written down. Write them down. Have a book by your bedside and a pen ready. Because you never know, God may speak. Daniel chapter 7, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Where was he? On his bed. This is what he did. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. So he didn't go into the nitty gritty where the cloud was gray and then this one was white and then I saw a little twinkle. No, he just wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. And we all know the book of Bible tells us that Daniel and the three Hebrew boys were wise men. And even the king, the ungodly king, saw the wisdom that was in his God's people. And he used them. And if wise Daniel wrote it down, we need to learn a lesson there. Write it down. Number five, meditate while you're on your bed. Meditate. Solutions. You want wisdom from God? Follow these directions. All from the Word of God. Not my opinion. Psalm 4:4, be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. The Good News translation of that verse. Tremble with fear and stop sinning. Think deeply about this. When you lie in silence on your beds. Number six, know God is thinking of you. Psalm 139, 17, 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. So we need to really ask God to help us to put these things into play in our life, the proper place. We need the wisdom of God. You need the wisdom of God in your life. But you're going to have to make up your mind that I'm not going to follow fashion. I'm not going to follow those who call themselves Christians, if you like, but they're not behaving wisely. They're not speaking wisely. The decisions that they make are contrary to what the Word of God says. And it's obvious. You're going to have to learn, and we looked at this last week. Your friendships can either promote you or pull you away from the things of God. And you need the wisdom of God to make sure that the solutions and the things you're putting into place in your life, God can look down and smile at you and say, there's my son, there's my daughter doing the right thing. I know it's hard, I know it's difficult for them, but they're doing the right thing. You need wisdom to know that no matter what, I'm going to present myself in the house of God. Why weren't you at church? Oh, I had a headache. You had a headache and you didn't come to church? Where's your faith? Where's the wisdom in that? Is that what God would want? Are you behaving how you want other people to behave? Am I setting the right tone, the right example for others to follow me? Let me ask ourselves these questions, folks. And we're in a period now of fasting and prayer. And church, I'm telling you from now, that if you have exempted yourself from fasting and praying in the first week, you better repent and get right down to it. And I'm coming across maybe a little religious here, but I'm not. When a fasting is set, it's set. Church fasting, I'm talking about, is set for every person. Do not excuse yourself. If you're pregnant, you're excused. Doctor's advice, you're excused. And there are some other, I haven't put out that literature for a long time, but there are some other, maybe one or two more exemptions from that. But folks, man, if you need to fast, we need to fast. We need to fast. Sometimes the Bible tells us quite clearly, the disciples asked Jesus, talking about wisdom, why couldn't we cast out that demon? And then Jesus turned around and said, because of unbelief. But he didn't stop there. He said, nevertheless, this type does not go out except by fasting and prayer. So sometimes we see some stuff and cycles in our life continuing. We're not fasting and praying. that sincerely, like we ought to, for those things to stop in Jesus' name. And until we make up our mind that, you know what, I am going to fast. If Jesus needed to fast, if the disciples needed to fast, well, why are we exempting ourselves from that? Can only be because of fleshly desires. Stuff. Remember I talked about noise last week? You tell me now, what is noise? What did I say noise was? No, one at a time, please. Unwanted sound. What else? That's the easy part. Noise is unwanted sound. It is any random fluctuation of data that hinders the perception of a signal. Any information that comes to you that hinders the perception of a signal from God's word, from what God has said to you, that is noise. And it ought to be cancelled. Are you understanding? So we've got to do that, and we've got to say, no. That's noise. What you're saying, what I'm hearing is noise. And I walk away from noise. I do not keep company around noise. When random data, when we listen to random data from when God has already, when it's contrary to God's word, when God has spoken his word. No, what God says, that's what I want to do. That's what needs to be in my heart. So I guard my ears, I guide my eyes, gateways to my spirit, and also my mouth, what I say, gateway to my spirit. I've got to be careful what I allow to come in. And what goes out of my mouth. So next week, I'm going to talk about enemies of wisdom. And that's the fourth question. And then benefits of wisdom. So I'm going to look at that next week. I'm going to stop right now because we need to pray. And I'm not going to ask who needs wisdom because everybody needs it. And if anybody thinks that they don't need wisdom, you are very unwise and you need it more than others. So stand up on your feet, please. Close your eyes right where you are. My son, my daughter, hear the instructions of a father. I am a spiritual father to this house. And I've given you the instruction, not of my opinion, but of God's word, what God says. And God wants you to take a grip and to get a grip of his word and to get a grip of everything that he is even speaking into your heart right now. Folks, with your eyes closed, you know what the Lord is saying. You know what areas of your life need changing. You know where you need to put that attention to, that effort to. You know that you need the wisdom of God. You cannot do it by yourself. God doesn't expect you to or want you to. And that's why the Bible tells us in Proverbs 8, wisdom goes out on the street and crying unto the sons of men. Here I am, who will have me? Who will have me? You can have me freely. And my prayer today, folks, is that decisions, we make them every single day, and you will need to make them even today before the day ends. You're going to make more decisions, that you will make the right ones in the right way at the right time, producing the right kind of results, the God kind of results that he wants in your life. Now, what noise is preventing that from happening? What signals, what associations are there in your life that's hindering that? In the name of Jesus Christ, it has to be moved because God wants you, needs you. I want to use you greatly. Do not let anything hinder you from operating that the way God wants you to operate. Be disciplined and be determined in your own heart and in your own life. That irrespective of how I feel, this is what God wants. And what God wants is what is going to happen in my life. Will yourself along that line and say, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. Humble yourselves under the almighty hand of Almighty God, and he will exalt you. So, Father, we lift up ourselves, including me, Lord. Lord, none of us are exempt here, Father. And, Lord, I stand here today, and I just want to thank you, first of all, Lord God, for giving me this word for your people, for me too, Lord. And, Father, we thank you for the wisdom that you give to us, Lord God, on a daily basis, Lord God, to make right choices. But, Lord, we acknowledge too, that there were times when we mess up, Lord. I know I mess up at times, Father. And Lord, we all mess up at times. We all, Father, run ahead of you. We all, Lord God, keep that door down, Lord God, when we're knocking because the door is not open. But here we are today, Father, saying, forgive us, Lord, for our wrongs, Lord. Forgive us, Lord God, for whatever directions and turnings we've made that we shouldn't have made. Father, we stand before you today, Lord God, as a people, both individual and collectively, Lord God. We're asking you, Lord, to forgive us, to wash us from all unrighteousness. But Lord, more so that you will fill us with your Spirit, Lord God. Renew our minds, Lord God, we pray. Oh God, help us to deposit your word into our hearts like never before. But then to act on your word, Lord God, knowing, Father, that you have our best interests at heart, Lord. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Father. The psalmist said, a goodness and mercy is in hot pursuit after us all the days of our lives. That's what we say every Sunday, Father. In the Hebrew, it means hot pursuit when it says follow. And Lord God, so we thank you that your goodness, your love, your mercy is in hot pursuit after us, Lord. And we declare this today, that it's caught us and overtaken us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, that we have the wisdom of God. And that we are wise people, Lord. And that we will leave here, Father, knowing this, Lord God. And we pray in Jesus' name that, oh God, our words now, Lord God, the fruit of this will be seen in our lives and in our speech, Lord. And so we will speak right, Lord God, and we will see that which you have purposed in our hearts and in our lives. Father, we give you thanks for the good plans that you have for us. Plans to see us prosper and not to come to any harm. Thank you, Lord God, that you, Lord God, have already created our future. And we will walk in the fullness of that which you have purposed for us, Lord. So as we humble ourselves, Lord God, we pray that you'll fill us afresh. And we thank you for your leading and your direction.